Okay, all, welcome back to the Yogi Roshan podcast, and we continue with our journey series. In this episode, I'm joined by Peter O'Keefe. Peter, welcome back to the pod, my man.
Hi, Gary. Thanks a million. How are things?
All good, all good. We're just chatting there. So you're just back from Portugal, so you're branching out into Golfstrong travel now as well.
Yeah, why not? Sure, look, we keep trying new things. Yeah, so this is the second year we did it now. So we did it last year. I was on my own, you know, I did it on my own with clients from, you know, the wider online community, let's call it. Quinta Lago is an ideal situation. So I suppose what I'm trying to do is more golf wellness, where the day involves, you know, some movement workshops. This time around, we had Billy O'Regan, who's joined me, an amazing S&C coach, brilliant social media guy, and he's a golfer himself. So, you know, he brought another, you know, I suppose, element of professionalism to the trip. Rob Hogan, who everyone knows, Speed Golf Rob. So Rob was there giving everyone lessons, and Darren Prince is a physio. So with the four of us, you know, managing 32 people from this time round all over the world, like, I mean, I was kind of blown away by the interest. And we could have had probably 15 more people on the trip in the last week with inquiries, and I just couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't do it because, you know, they take a lot of organizing with the golf and tea times and the hotel, and you want everything to be smooth. But no, it was brilliant. Feedback has been amazing. Everyone wants to go again. So yeah, it's something I'll certainly be looking to grow, and there's a big interest there, and we're actually looking at doing an Irish one as well at the moment. So we'll keep an eye out for that.
You're keeping yourself fairly busy, so all of the workload. So talk to me about golf. So the next 12 months, Peter, what would you like to achieve on the golf course in the next 12 months?
Trying to get better, and where better brings me, I keep an open mind on that, really. So what do I want to achieve? I'd love to win more titles. That's really all I want to achieve in amateur golf. I don't have any interest in team golf anymore, and that's fine. That's just my decision. You know, the only team golf I would really have a major interest, obviously Walker Cup would be a nice thing to do, but not the end of the world. But I'd love to see our home club do something at, I think we deserve, not almost deserve, but I think it would be lovely for us as a group of people to achieve something like win a Senior Cup or Barton Shield. So, you know, I really have a lot of interest in the juniors in Douglas and a lot of other clubs, clearly, but especially in my own club, because I see them every week. We train together in the gym, set up the Golf Strong Academy class. They're all involved in that. And that brings people together. So, you know, from a team golf standpoint, I'm not going to play for Munster. I'm not going to play for Ireland. And that's nothing negative. That's just where I am going with my golf. But yeah, like, I'd love to see us do something from a team standpoint with the club. And I just want to see the golf ball do things that I want it to do in tournaments and just do it my own way. I've always done well on a golf course when I do it my own way. And that's what I want to get back to that a little bit. So that's the overall plan. So we'll see what happens.
Looking at the overall plan and looking at the back end of last year, so when you sat down with Noel, I suppose, and even just yourself with a bit of reflection, what was the main takeaways that you looked at from last year that you want to improve on for this year?
So there was one takeaway, and that was the hinge. That was it. You know, that happened, still on my mind. What have I done since? I've just tried to get as physically fit and strong as I possibly could in that space of time, because that's something I could control. Also, I suppose, smartly enough, worked on my technique, not by pounding balls, but doing loads of movements in the gym, and just transferring that into a golf pattern or movement and sending that to Noel all the time. So we went to Portugal ourselves a couple of weeks ago and just did a weekend camp, just nice and quietly went down, and the signs are very good. So I don't know what's going to happen. I could play horrendous. I don't think I'd play horrendous golf, to be fair, but I don't know what's going to happen. I have a good sense. I have a good feeling. Like, I would normally have a good indication of something happening. So I'm sure enough something will happen this year. But yeah, I suppose it's how people react to something negative happening. And let's call the hinge negative, because it was. So, you know, when you literally give away a tournament, which is clearly what happened, you have to learn from that. You have to accept it. And I suppose you have to make a quick decision on how you're going to react to it. My day is surrounded by health and fitness, either with Golf Strong business or F45 business or whatever I'm doing. And in gyms, I'm in that environment all of the time. And with that brings lots of positivity from people you're naturally surrounded by, which is great. It's a great place, a great environment. You know, the business side of it has its challenges, but the people side of it is excellent. So I've fed off that for a long time, since July, let's say. So I'm hoping all that breeds an attitude of, you know, a calm confidence in myself, which I will have, and in my technique, and all of that rolling into one. So, you know, I'm keeping an open mind, but I'm kind of quietly excited too about the season ahead.
Yeah, so like you kind of mentioned it there kind of at the start of the pod, I suppose team golf outside of Douglas isn't going to be a feature of your schedule this year. So like you made the decision late last year to walk away from Irish teams and stuff. So what was that? What was the purpose behind that? Or was it just kind of had enough time done, was it?
It's just time with me. Like it's just making a decision for myself, really. And what do I want out of golf? Like, I'd love to see Jack Murphy get on the Irish team rather than myself at this stage. And that's what I believe. And my space should be given to Jack Murphy, no matter what. For instance, I'm not just saying that because he's a teammate of mine in Douglas, but, you know, and I made that point, but I think really it's like anything. It's like if you say to someone, the day you're dreading going into work is the day you need to change your job. Like, it wasn't the case. It's not like that in golf, but I suppose, or in Irish team stuff, it's just time for me. Like, I would get, you know, congratulations, you've been selected, and that's amazing, but right, how am I going to make everything work while I'm away? How do I get everything covered? Who's going to be where? It's just easier for me and my brain, you know, and my kids now are getting, like, they're 3 and 5, and Billy, my 3-year-old, wants to go to the driving range every day, and he's, you know, it's just life moving on. So for me to maintain my love of being a competitor, I needed to make those decisions. So, and they're the right decisions, you know, I'm not going to miss it. I mean that with all the greatest respect to the Irish team set up. It's and like it is, you know, you never say never, but right now I can't. And it wasn't fair to the selectors anyway, you know, because they would say, look, are you available for this? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, lads, you shouldn't be asking me that, really, because it should be you're going to this and you're going to this, and they're only being fair to me, which was great, and I appreciated that. So yeah, so that's it. I suppose it's just something I am happy enough to move on from at the moment, and that's just the way I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and I suppose with all that, that kind of makes a lot of sense with juggling as many balls as you're juggling, but with all of that going on in life then, so how much time would you reckon you get to play golf within a week, or kind of, like, I know you're practicing in the gym, but like actual range on course at the moment?
Sure, I played Q School in October. I didn't really play again until I played probably once over Christmas. And I hate saying this because I'm such a golfer. And then I went to Portugal with Noel and I ripped it in Portugal. Like, absolutely flushed it. Lovely. Like, really good. I played one day on our trip there, played lovely, shot a really nice score. But that tends to be the way I like to do it. But then again, like, I've probably, you know, myself and Rob Hogan had this chat, like, you know, about, are you, and I speak to Noel about this an awful lot, like, are you practicing when you're thinking about it? And I am thinking about golf morning, noon and night, about positions, watching swings, fields in the gym, putting off a ruler all winter. You know, you're still working on it. I mean, the winter here in Ireland has been complete write-off, like, so yeah. Unless you're going somewhere else to really get some proper work done, you know, indoor golf, you can get certain stuff done in a swing room. Yeah, like, I grip the club all the time during the day when I'm with clients. I'm always gripping the club. I'm always just playing with my grip. I'm always feeling the club in my hands. So yeah, sure. Look, that's I suppose that's what I've been doing. I haven't been playing golf much to answer the question, but moving, thinking about it, working on it, I suppose that's a constant, you know.
With it ramping up in the next couple of weeks and kind of the season kicking off here, so what's the first three events you plan on playing at the moment?
I'm playing the Bettystown Scratch Cup on Sunday. I haven't played Bettystown since I played a Leinster Youths there a million years ago. So I'm just going to go up, walk the golf course and go to the beach and practice there. West of Ireland next week. I wasn't going to play if it was the old format because I just thought that was a bit harsh. I did make the cut the first year, missed the cut last year. It's just, you know, I thought, I get it, but I thought it was a fiddly format, to be honest. But they're back to the old format this year. So, and I think that tournament deserves that because you just don't know with the weather. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't know. So top 64 there gives everyone a fair crack at it, to be honest. And then I'm going to play the Munster Stroke play in Cork. because it's handy and I've won twice there and I like the golf course. It would normally clash with Lidham, but did I play Lidham last year? I did, because it was Walker Cup here basically, yeah. So I'm going to play, my plan is just to play all the home events and the British Am, which is in Ireland anyway. So it'll be largely a domestic, you know, just again, like, just to see where my swing's at, where my game is at. And I plan on going to Q School again because I just enjoy that tournament and the challenge. And, you know, if you play well a given few weeks, who knows what'll happen? Sure, that's what life's all about. So I think, are you spinning the roulette wheel? You probably are, like, but sure, why not, you know?
Yeah, so it's very much, I suppose, setting a schedule up that fits Peter O'Keefe rather than Peter O'Keefe fitting into a schedule, like.
Yeah, I knowing myself, especially as a golfer, I need to do it my own way too. And if I'm doing it another way, it just doesn't work for me. You know, I struggle playing. Some lads love a casual game of golf. I struggle there. So that does not suit me. So I need to just keep putting myself in things that suits me. But when I know schedule ahead is easy, I suppose, easy in regards of I can choose my own. I can, you know, my family will come to certain events. You know, we won't go, like, I'll go to Sligo on my own. We'll all go to the Hinge together. That just works. You know, that's just something we do. And I can balance my work life around all of that. So I suppose it's nothing too exciting in one breath, but it's just the way I have to do it. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm as competitive as ever. Like, that's not going to fall away. Like, you know what I mean? So I just need to, if I can probably suit the season to match what I need out of it, yeah. You know, I think good things should happen then, you know.
So at the end of them three events then, Peter, so like by the time you walk off the 18th in Cork, what would you class as success, I suppose? First off in results and second, like just in what you want to see in your own game.
Let's say Cork, for example. It's not a difficult golf course. So like, I don't know what I shot when I won. Was I maybe 12 under 1 year, 14 under, something like that. And I won quite well when I won at those numbers. So that's what I would be trying to get out of it, like shoot a minimum of 10 under for the tournament. Because as I say, it's not a difficult golf course. If you drive the ball straight, the greens are normally absolutely magic there. So there's loads of chances. Now that's obviously given, you know, nice weather, nice greens, blah, blah, blah. All the par fives, bar the fifth, are pretty simple if you play them well enough. So there's lots of chances there. Some short par fours, some good par threes. Now that's based on, they could set it up then to probably counter what I've just said, but that's fine. But that's the way I'll be approaching that one. And if my game's in good shape, that's totally achievable. So I suppose if I take that mindset and pull it off, it's up to everyone else then to beat that. That's the way I would look at that. And that's not being, you know, all cocky golf or anything. That's just knowing what I've done there before and just to try and repeat that. That's a personal one for me. Ross's Point, I've always felt that Ross's Point is right up my street, but I've never done really well there. And I'd love to write that wrong, to be honest. So we'll see. You know, what am I sure I'd love to win there. I'd love to win. I suppose I'd love an early win. I'm going there to win. So that's my plan, you know.
And in terms of swing and just overall game then, like, what will you be kind of looking at coming away from them kind of saying that this is the right direction for you?
Sure, that's where you come in because, you know, I keep saying it, the value of what you do, you know. And again, Foxy said this to me and he's spot on, like, the value that you bring is we get a chance to see ourselves in a competitive arena or environment swinging the way we do. And I know every player, if they don't, they're mad. Every player is looking at their swings in competition. Like a touring professional would get to see that very easily, just turn on the TV if they're, you know, top players or whatever. But we as amateurs, we will never see that unless you're around, really. And that's what you've brought to this, like. And that's not giving you a high five, but it kind of is, like. So yeah, I suppose it's the feel versus real thing. It's stuff we do an awful lot with players is, right, where's your swing? You're working with your PGA pro or your coach or whoever. Great. What does that look like? Brilliant. Now, can we put something physical or something tangible with that, that you know what you're doing? And I suppose anytime I've done well, my swing looks like what it feels like, if you get me.
Yeah.
And that gives me personal confidence. There's nothing worse than kind of thinking you're swinging well and then seeing and going, ah, Jesus, like, that's not what it feels like. So yeah, I love little things like that. How everything, I suppose, feels versus how it looks and where it is technically, and sure, if all that matches up, I think good things could happen, you know.
So yeah, I suppose then walking golf courses, you don't tend to play a lot of practice rounds. I know you've played a lot of the courses many times, but like, you always tend to walk a course. What are you looking for, I suppose, throughout that walk?
The time, I love the time. First, it gives me, like, I have a very busy brain because I have a lot going on in my life, and that's fine. That's the way I want it. So then a golf tournament for me is a switch off, or a potential switch off. So I don't need to play a practice round, and the slowness and the blah, blah, blah of a practice round, I don't need that in my life or my brain. So I love the walk because it's done in an hour. I know where the golf course is. I don't know Bettystown. I just don't have it in my mind at the moment. But if I just bring a wedge and a putter with me, I can spend a lovely hour there and then do something I love, which is going to the beach with my camera and filming my swing. That to me is an amazing preparation. Now, whether it comes off on Sunday or not doesn't bother me, but what I can control is how I prepare. So and look, another nice thing is I know majority of guys won't prepare like that, and that's fine, that's up to them, but it's the way I like to prepare. And again, back to Noel, ball to target game. Does it really matter? Should it matter? It probably shouldn't. You know, it would be an interesting, I said this before, like, it would be an interesting experiment just to see how one would play with no practice rounds. Who knows? But for me, it doesn't suit me. I don't like getting irritated by things that I feel I shouldn't be doing anyway. So practice round avoidance, unless it suits me, unless it's a game I actually want to play, not that I have to play or need to play, you know what I mean? Yeah, that does me fine. So I'm looking forward to just going up there tomorrow. I'll walk the course, get a feel for it, and yeah, head to the beach. Happy days.
And like, will you bring a laser out, like, and try to get lines off tees, or will you just kind of boycott that just to get a feel with a wedge of the putter up there?
Yeah, I will have a laser for sure. Like, and I'll stand at certain points on the fairways and just laser back, and I'll take a few notes and, you know, see where the greens are sloping. Yeah, definitely. I'm not just rushing it. I'm absolutely taking it all in. Like I did the year I won the Irish Am in the European club. Okay. I had played the European before and wasn't too sure on it. And when I walked the course, it all came back to me, kind of thing. Yeah. And I was like, this place is amazing. And it is. And there are certain tee shots there that are literally shit or bust tee shots, to use a phrase. So, you know, you might spend a bit more time visualizing those. But again, go back to that seventh hole, as I class as the hardest hole in the world. Like, if you play a practice round there and you blow four balls out of bounds and then you hit another one out of, you know, that embeds itself. Like, so whether people realize it or not, there's a negativity about that tee shot that you'd have to sleep on. So then I took that out of the equation. I was like, no, I just walked the hole, and I looked back from the middle of that fairway, which looks like a field. That was the visual I got that week. And I think I played the hole one under for the three rounds, which is probably gaining some serious strokes on the field. But look, who knows? Maybe people are listening to this going, your man's off his game. Grand. That's you. Perfect. But it just works for me. I don't like anything seeping in that might negatively influence how I'm going to approach a hole or see a certain tee shot or whatever. So that's just the experiences I've had over the years. But I do remember that. I do remember that practice round very vividly. And I do remember walking down that hole, standing where you see the reeds come in there from the tee box, but turning around and looking back at the tee box and seeing an absolute runway. And that was the visual I had then. I was like, sure, why can't I just hit it out here anyway? Like,
yeah,
I got a sense of freedom from that rather than playing off the back tee and seeing a bowling alley. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was just one, because I was so interested in that hole, because I remember playing the Irish Close there years ago when Rory won. And I must have made a 10 on that hole. I must have, because I shot 90 in the round.
Okay.
So there's a lot of shots gifted on that one. But again, so that was in my brain from like maybe 10 years previously or even more. So I suppose that's where I kind of lean on that one a little bit, you know.
You mentioned notes, and you're always writing something in your little notepad as you walk the fairway. So what are you tracking on the notepad to kind of, I suppose, keep you in line going forward?
It's like a little mobile caddy. So whatever, I do rate myself for commitment out of 10 on each shot, every single shot. And the only real stat I'm interested in, or the trend, is how committed I am for a period of time and if that equates to score. So that's what I'm really writing, but I'm also writing it down feels all the time and thoughts and reactions, and it just gets, you know, pretty much poured into this book. I have loads of them. I have loads of them. And from time to time, you know, they'll all stack up into memories, and I can go back to tournaments I've won and tournaments I haven't won. Just opening this randomly, you know, it was the second round in the Munster Stroke Play in Cork, as we were just chatting about it. But it gives me, right, what did I do when I won this? Bang, bang, bang. I can go back and see the notes, like the thoughts, not just the scores. They're largely irrelevant. It's what brain, what mindset was I in? What was I writing down? Very funny. I've said this to you before, I think. The second round in Tullamore where I won the Irish Close, I made a 7 on the second, a par 3. And I ended up shooting level par in the round, but I remember writing it physically on the thing, time to go home. That was the thought, time to go home. I'd like, I remember it started lashing rain and I was trying to rush it. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Ended up making a seven, dropped four shot, par three, three putted her, disaster. Time to go home, wasting my time. And this is stuff that Harrington would have mentioned before about self-talk, talking to yourself like you're your own best friend, which is golden advice. But like anything, like we talk about in fitness, you can put yourself under duress or strain, but it's how quickly you can recover gives you an idea of where you're at. And I did recover, to be fair. I did recover and I won the tournament. But like, would I suppose that gives me a system to just let my thoughts out. If I had a caddy there, I'd have a very open relationship with anyone who caddies for me. But that's all organized before you hit the course. You're like, right, Gary, we're going to caddy for each other. Or you're going to caddy for me today. I'm in one way caddying for you because I'm the player. I need to let you know what I'm thinking. And that creates open dialogue then. And sure, in any situation, open dialogue is the best. You cannot fail, in my mind, if there's full communication all of the time. So especially on a golf course. So that's my way of just unloading. There's a couple of agendas there, I suppose. But it's nice to have them kind of accumulate over time that I can go back and say, right, like last year. And to be fair, not to be fair, but I suppose to be fair to me in my synopsis of all this, you know, I didn't stick with this enough last year. I did in certain events and I didn't, whereas I was regimented in this for years and I'm going to be regimented again. It's going to be a fresh book on Sunday in my arse pocket and this is going to start again from the top. Like, so, and I'll look back at it. If I shoot 285s on Sunday, I don't care. I will look back at the note and the commitment levels. Or if I shoot 265s, it'll be the same thing. What are the notes? What are the commitment levels? What are the feels? How did the prep feel? And there's a synopsis at the end. It's closed off and I move on to the next one. So that's what that one is.
And what are the tools of the trade then? So what's the clubs in the bag basically? What's going to take you forward this year?
I was in Portugal last year. I'd say I must have had about 17 clubs in the bag. I have a 2-iron that's really good. I don't think I need a 3-wood or rescue with this. I'm not sure, to be honest. So I think I'll have 2 and 3-iron and a full set of irons. I'm a funny player. I'll rip a 3-wood for 2 months and then I'll hit them shy for 2 months. But I think I have a 3-wood that's more suited now. And I just go to a chip driver anyway. It's a shot I like. It's a shot I can play. So I don't think there's a need of a 3-wood in my life, to be quite honest. So yeah, I think I'm actually making my mind up now as I'm talking to you. So it'll just be driver and then 2-iron and then 3-iron and then all the way down.
Okay, what putter is in the bag? The one that you had back in the last year?
Yeah, my Wilson. Which is lovely. And again, there's a guy there. He's a client of mine, but he's a buddy of mine at this stage. He was on the trip, Dermot Scanlon. So Dermot, great man to tinker around with clubs and stuff. So he came into the gym one day with this Wilson L that he had extended. And I hit a few putts with him. And I'm like, Christ, this thing's amazing. Like, so I went away and I built my own one. So it's good. Yeah, it's good. Sets up lovely. There's a lovely grip in it. Nice weight on it. And that's it. That's the putter. Sticking with that.
Cool. So what we'll do is we'll catch up after Munster stroke play, Peter. We'll see how the three tournaments went and I suppose if there's any change in the plan going forward for the rest of the year.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Gary.
Keep it on. Man. Cheers.